The session today is called A Question of Access: How Can Technology Reduce Health Disparities in an Era of Healthcare Reform? My name is James O'Leary. I'm the Chief Innovation Officer with Genetic Alliance and the past chair of the Genomics Forum at APHA. And really the focus of this year's session is to ask the hard questions around this year's theme, social justice, asking ourselves very bluntly, where do we put our money and who does it benefit? This community is very familiar with the hard tension between putting money into tried and true programs and investing in new and novel technologies, approaches, and implementation strategies. And how do we balance that in today's world, where there's a lot of excitement in a lot of different areas like genomics, like screening, like health information technology, even outside the world of public health? So we're going to really break down this bigger question into two questions today. The first being, how can advanced technologies that have received a significant amount of funding already be used not just to increase quality of care, but to actually increase access and reduce health disparities? The second question we're asking is one of kind of an honest conversation around, where do we put the money? These technologies, many of them are expensive. And so in an era of healthcare reform, we're going to ask some hard questions around where to put that money and who has access to those more expensive technologies. I'm joined by four fantastic speakers today that are really going to give you different angles on this question. The first presentation will be split between Dr. Alan Noonan, Dean of the School of Community Health and Policy at Morgan State, and Eduardo Velasco, Associate Dean of that program and Professor of Epidemiology. The angle that they're going to present from is on access for ethnic minority populations with a focus on prevention and screening. Second, we'll have Sharon Terry, who is President and CEO of Genetic Alliance and Executive Director of PXE International, Pseudoxanthoma Elasticum International. And she'll be presenting on the kind of question from access for individuals with genetic conditions from a standpoint of treatment and diagnosis. And then finally with us, we have Jason Goldwater, Health IT Project Manager at NORC, the National Opinion Research Center at the University of Chicago. And he will present on access for rural and community health systems with a focus on health information technology. So at the end of our presentations, we'll then have time for a kind of a cross-cutting discussion, and we'll also be taking time for questions from the audience. So with that, I will welcome Dr. Noonan to the stage. Thank you.
Thank you and good morning. I'm going to try to be brief, and we're going to talk about the translation of health knowledge and using emerging technologies, especially for ethnic minority populations. And Dr. Velasco and I are presenting together, and we have no relationships to disclose. But what we do want to get across is that with each new advance, we have to place our faith in humanity's moral and ethical sensibilities. It's not just about implementing technologies. It's about the sensibility of implementing technology. What is technology? What are we really talking about? And there are several definitions. And here are some of the definitions. Practical application of knowledge, a manner of accomplishing a task, and interventions that are developed to improve health and quality of life. Now, many of the things that we use in public health are emerging and developing technologies, and you can see such things as immunizations and information technology here, but also technology refers to surgical procedures, devices, and often people think we're talking about robotics and imaging, etc., when we talk about technologies, but the word is a broader word than that. We have to remember, as we talk about technologies, the definition of health. We're talking about health technologies So we're really talking about physical, mental, and social well-being. And the purpose of emerging technologies is to improve health services, but yet quality of health services without equity is an example of social injustice, and we have to remember that as we implement new and emerging technologies. I want to talk about two specific areas, and Dr. Velasco will talk about the third. I want to talk a little bit about mental health and sickle, and secondly about sickle cell disease. At Morgan, we are in the midst of an activity to assess the effective behavioral health treatment for insured minority populations. Aetna Foundation came to us with this question of this problem. And this is the group that too many things going here. See, I got ahead of myself. This is the group that we're using to investigate this question. And the group had a focus group session and individual interviews of all of the experts who had many different perspectives. And this, I just want to give you some of the summaries of what we have come up with so far. And we started with the Surgeon General's report on mental health, race, culture, and ethnicity. The question was, what have we done since then? The report came out in 2001. Have we made any progress? And the group felt that there were several challenges that are still in front of us that need significant addressing. I recognize the dismantling of the health infrastructure, but we also recognize that the justice system has taken on an inordinate role in dealing with mental health care. And yet, that is almost accidental, and we need to, from public health, become more active with the justice system in dealing with mental health. There are disparities in access and quality still. Prevention still plays a secondary role, no surprise to us. Lack of trust, a big issue. We're talking about new technologies, new knowledge, but people in dealing with mental health deal with it best when it is when it's handled with them by someone whom they either know or feel familiar with. The biggest issue, from my perspective, one of the biggest issues in mental health, especially among people of color, is stigma. We do not want to admit to mental illness, and therefore we hide people who have mental illnesses. So when we look at emerging technologies in prevention and diagnosis, we still have inadequate diagnoses. Cultural idiosyncrasies are still inadequately explained, and the DSM-5 does not yet include information relevant for ethnic minority populations. So there's a lot of work to be done in that area. But we need, when we think of treatment in mental health, we need to think more broadly than the treatment of one person by one provider. Family treatment, community treatment is going to gain a larger role in the treatment of mental health in the near future. And as we implement the new technologies, one of the things that we found way back in 2001 is that there have been over 1,000 new drugs, and yet people don't use them and don't use them well. And at that time, and currently, fewer than 1/4 of people with a diagnosed mental illness receive actual treatment for their mental illness. So we have emerging technologies in mental health, and we are not getting them to the people who need them. The workforce is another issue. Primary care physicians are going to play a major role from now on in dealing with mental health. Yet how do we use new technologies, emerging technologies, to help them? We need to remember that they were not trained to deal with health of mental illness. The new healthcare reform legislation has many activities or many areas where we can look for help, insurance exchanges, the expansion of Medicaid to childless adults. Many of these activities are going to require the use of emerging technologies and the sensible and ethical use thereof. I just want to talk slightly about sickle cell disease. This is something that has been an issue for me for a long time. In 1987, we recommended that statewide sickle cell screening be implemented. It took until the year 2006 till this technology was implemented. So finally, in 2006, we have statewide newborn screening in every state, and the major purpose from one perspective is to get babies with sickle cell disease into prophylactic penicillin and into the other new treatments, hydroxyurea, which have changed the face of sickle cell. When I was an intern, we knew that children with sickle cell were not going to live to adulthood. But there's another issue in sickle cell, and that's the whole issue of getting laboratory information to the provider and to the client. And as labs are becoming decentralized, and we're talking about point-of-care testing, that issue becomes more complex. And we tried 20 years ago to get people to take their newborn screening data and keep it in such a way that it was available to adolescents when they became fertile. We have not become successful in that strategy yet, although I am happy to report that NHLBI, CDC, and HRSA are now working on that problem again. So the new technologies have major impacts on poor people, people of color, and we have much thinking to do as we implement the new technologies. Now let me turn it over to Dr. Eduardo Velasco, who is with me at Morgan State University.
Thank you. I will continue reviewing some of the work we have done at Morgan State University. This is a review of the literature on type 2 diabetes mellitus prevention and management interventions for minority populations. This work was given to us by, or we were funded by, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So the purpose of this literature review was to identify intervention strategies that have a positive effect on blood glucose levels and other specific outcomes, including the promotion of healthy behaviors and improving the quality of life of diabetic adults in minority groups. So we, the group of researchers, reviewed the literature, came up with about 40 papers, and classified them in these categories. I'm not going to read them, but what we found is that, again, not having systems in place, lack of coordination of care, and fragmented approaches to the care of diabetic patients resulted in non-effective outcomes. The outcomes that are more effective are those that include a comprehensive approach that are culturally tailored to ethnic populations and that involve the community in all phases of the intervention, and those that promote self-efficacy were the most effective. Multi-level approaches were the most effective, and no single approach was as effective. So where have we failed in the past? All of these three examples were emerging technologies at the time they were developed, and we keep having new technologies. Where have we failed to have the systems in place, the organizations in place, address the cultural mores of the populations to be able to benefit the most from health technologies? In the field of genomics, the agnostic common variant approach has failed to deliver on the promise of personalized medicine. We have new approaches, very interesting approaches, like genome-wide association studies that, again, offer great potential for the benefit of the population. Are we ready with the social, organizational, and cultural approaches to fully benefit from these technologies? There were two very exciting news last week on the field of devices. One was the results from this study showing that CAT scan screening was able to diminish the mortality by 20% among older smokers. The FDA reclassified digital mammography devices from class 3 to class 2, which should make them more available. Now, the problem in the market of devices is the non-disclosure policies by manufacturers and providers. So, devices or the device companies charge Peter one price, Pauline another price, don't let them share the information. This is another form of social inequality. We know that the pharmaceutical industry is one of the best and highest quality sources of knowledge on pharmaceuticals, and their potential for benefit to improve the health of the population is enormous. However, we have also seen problems like publication bias, companies publishing what they want, the results they want to publish, that have resulted in problems like Vioxx, and more recently, like problems like the issues with Avandia for diabetes. So all of these issues need to be addressed, and we believe by looking at healthcare reform provisions that many of them are being addressed, and it is up to us as public health professionals to make sure that we develop the systems, organizations, and cultural approaches to not repeat errors from the past and be able to unleash the power of health technologies for the benefit of all and minorities in particular. Some of the provisions that we saw, and I mean not only by looking at the actual document but also by reviewing the literature, is that the expansion of coverage, the expansion of prevention services will stimulate the use of new devices that will be good for the market, good for the people, and the implementation of comparative effectiveness research will allow us to be able to compare technologies and make a more rational decision making to utilize them. There's also provisions on disclosure of a conflict of interest by physicians and companies, and new quality standards, new health information systems that will allow us to monitor. But there is a need for us to devise or identify indicators that explicitly take into account the measurement of health inequities. If we are able to do so, we hope that in the near future we can say that we tackled one of the most shocking and inhumane forms of social injustice, health inequalities. I will stop there. Thank you.